If you think you can't go from politics to the divine, Carol Gold and Steve Clark are about to take you above the fray. The only agenda here is to empower you to think for yourself, ask more questions, and trust your own truth. So now, the combination talk radio has been missing. Until now, Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you above the fray.
Hi, I'm Carol Gold and welcome to Above the Fray. The number here is 914-803-4522. Of course, as always, we welcome your calls. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Clark. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hi, Carol.
And what we would like to do is give you a bit of a recap for the week. It's certainly not an uneventful week, and let's kind of work from present backwards. I guess we want to start, let's start with the tragedy in Oregon this week. We had one more mass shooting, and I'm sure the story is everywhere, and so let's try to talk to you about perhaps a different angle. There are two things, Steve, that I'd like to talk about in relationship to this story. The first is, it seems to me that neither the president nor the media ever miss an opportunity to create fear, to create panic, to jack up people's emotions. And this week I noticed it with the hurricane allegedly coming up the East Coast. I'm not even sure as of our broadcast time now whether they've decided the track will either skirt the East Coast or be a direct landfall hit. But either way, it's been days of getting everybody ready and panicked and shopping and batten down the hatches, and they weren't even sure what the direction it was going in. Now, the one side of that argument is it always pays to be prepared, and I believe that too. But I think that the media and the president, as he just did with this shooting in Oregon, they look for opportunities to create fear, because people who are emotionally strung out, for lack of a better word, people whose emotions are at a fever pitch are much more easily controlled than people who are calm and steady and rational and can discern for themselves whether or not they should take a given path or not. So, for example, let me just go back to Katrina. You know, all of the people who listen to FEMA, all of the people who listen to the federal government go to the stadium. It was all of those people who really suffered. They had inadequate supplies. They had unclean water. They had rapes in the bathrooms at the stadium. And the people who fled the area, who headed toward Texas and further up toward Louisiana, further up in Louisiana, those were the people who actually got away from the problem. And so, again, when people are panicked, it's easy to manipulate them, and you don't even need panic. I think you just need elevated emotional states. And I think the president did that yesterday when he came on air and he gave that speech last night by politicizing, in his own words, he chose to say we need to politicize the gun issue and incidents such as happened yesterday in Oregon. And I think it's really reckless, but I also think it's habitual, because I think that whenever there's been a tragedy of any kind or an action that was contentious, our president has a habit of instantly going on air and taking sides, particularly when it involves the military or the police, or Muslims, and taking the side that fits the political agenda that he tries to sell and often successfully does. And that's not what I think leadership is about. So, Steve, let me hear you weigh in on this.
Sure. The first thing that I found interesting was that Obama went right away and he made his point about gun control. And the comment that he made that I found quite interesting, he said, all gun owners know that more guns is not the answer. If you go to Switzerland, the whole country is armed. Every single person in Switzerland has a gun in their house, and they have one of the lowest crime rates in the world. The reason that there is no crime is because the people know that if you rob a house, you're probably going to get shot at. In Texas, the crime rates are very low as well because of the same rationale, that more guns is actually making the place safer.
Steve, let me tell you about Texas. Do you know that when Russia had plans to invade the United States during the Cold War, and those plans have been found, this is documented, this isn't conspiracy stuff, do you know that every plan they had included every part of the United States except Texas? Because they knew Texas was an independent entity, the people were armed, and that Texas would defend itself. It's why Russia never planned to, it's why Germany never planned to go into Switzerland.
That's exactly right. The documents came out after World War II that they would not, Hitler had made plans to invade Switzerland, and then looking at the numbers, I think the numbers was close to that he would need a standing army of 4 million people just to invade Switzerland. So they said there's no way that you could do it. So Switzerland avoided two wars by being fully armed. The second kind of interesting twist on this is that if you go to Mexico, if you own a firearm in Mexico, it's an immediate prison sentence. One only needs to go to Mexico to realize how violent and dangerous that country is. Part of the immigration problem that we see here in the U.S. is people fleeing Mexico because of the massive amount of crime rates. The drug cartels control the country because they are so heavily armed and the populace is not. The second thing that I think I'd like to talk to you about, Carol, is that immediately the press and the presidency immediately went after the issue that this was a gun control issue. But then the story could have easily have been, was this a terrorist attack? Why do I say that? When the person went in to kill the students at the school, he asked, are you a Christian or not? And if you answered that you were a Christian, he shot them. If you responded that you were not a Christian, you were shot in the leg. So the question, you know, is an obvious one. Why hasn't the media really picked up that story?
Well, Steve, it's interesting you bring that up because they did pick up on certain things that were on his Facebook page. He had previously been a member of MySpace, and he had also been on a dating site. And he listed himself as shy and a Republican conservative. But what belies that fact is being anti-Christian and being Republican conservative are almost oxymoronic terms. I mean, it doesn't happen that you find conservative Republicans who hate Christians. It rarely happens, if ever. Secondly, he was also allegedly a proponent of the Irish Republican Army in Northern Ireland. And finally, he had on his Facebook page something about jihad. Now, what the press has been saying is that you should believe that he was a Republican, you should believe that he was a conservative, but you shouldn't believe the jihad thing because somebody might have added that to his Facebook page at the last minute. So again, what we're talking about here isn't fact, it's about political agenda, because we know the press is left, right? And we know that they always sift through what facts they're going to present as fact and which they are going to deliberately leave out. So they want you to believe only what fits the political agenda, which is that he's conservative and he's Republican. The other point, Steve, is that you made about where there are arms and where there are not, and then how that affects crime rate. Vermont has no gun laws. Vermont has no gun control laws.
So I'm sorry, what do you mean? Everybody can own a gun?
You could own a gun in Vermont if you want. They have no crime.
Okay.
In Chicago, where they have the most severe gun control laws in the country, 54 teens and young adults have been killed in Chicago in the last 2 weekends. That has not been on the news because blacks killing blacks or a tight gun control area and high crime don't fit the agenda. In addition, Steve, one other thing. What the president was talking about last night was background checks. One of the things they keep... Background checks would not have prevented any of the mass shootings that have recently taken place. But for that young man who shot in Sandy Hook, who, by the way, got his weapons from his mother, that wouldn't have stopped. Background checks wouldn't have stopped him from getting weapons either. Background checks are not the answer, and nor is the answer to take away our Second Amendment rights. This is the oldest argument in the world, but when there was prohibition, people who wanted alcohol got it. When you couldn't smoke marijuana because it was illegal, People who wanted it got it. You're always going to get both pretty decent people, but you're also going to always get criminals who, no matter what the law is, there's going to be a black market, and they're going to get what they need. And so to take away weaponry, no one yesterday in Oregon was armed. They're all dead. The only guy who's alive is the guy who was armed.
Well, it's the only other guy that was that saved a lot of people was a former Army specialist that saved all these people because he was trained. Although he did not have a weapon, he knew how to use his body. He knew how to use tactics in order to bring somebody like this down. So I find it interesting. The one person who was trained stopped the most tragedy even without a weapon. The second thing is, you know, what I think also that we have here in the United States that doesn't get talked about either is let's look at these people. Most of them have real serious mental issues. It's not going to surprise me at all if it comes out that this person was taking some type of medication. In all the other previous incidences, if you look at it, especially the kid from Sandy Hook, he was on an enormous amount of drugs. So I don't, you know, the shootings is a problem. I agree. But it's also, the drugs is a massive problem also. And it's not just, they're not illegal drugs. Most of these drugs are prescription drugs. So I think that's a whole other issue that needs to be addressed. But it doesn't get addressed because of the money.
It's one of the subsets, I agree with you, which are the drugs and the mental illness. The other subset is most of these people are in an age bracket where they were raised on technology and they were raised on the violence that is so prevalent on the technology and on television too. And so you get, and the other thing that they've been raised on is social media, where everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame because everybody can be famous in an instant if you put together the right YouTube or you put together the right tweet, you go viral, right? Well, if you can't get enough attention that way, if you shoot 15 people, you can be famous too. And in fact, I don't even know what to call him. I don't want to know his name. The only name I care about is Chris Mintz, and he's the hero you mentioned, the vet. And by the way, everyone, keep praying for him because he lived, but he's going to have to learn how to walk all over again. His legs were really terribly damaged. So prayers for Chris Mintz, who did save a lot of lives yesterday. Where was I, Steve? I just lost my train of thought. I was on a subset of the technology and becoming famous. There it is. So everybody wants to be famous. This young man yesterday said he modeled what he did. He was fascinated by the press that the Sandy Hook massacre perpetrator got. So he wanted to be famous, this guy yesterday. That's what he wanted, which is a reason not to use his name, which is a reason not to give him what he wanted and not to give the next guy or woman who's thinking about doing something crazy the thought that they'll be famous. So the problem with guns is never the gun. It's the use of the gun. It's the intention of the person using the gun. And when it's such a quick and dirty fix to say if you have better background checks or if you confiscate all the guns, we won't have crime. When you've got a culture that is raised on technology, that is raised on violence, that has banished God from the public discourse, that where families are broken, where 95 million people or 6 million people are out of work as of this morning, and 52 million of them are women, when that's your culture, your guns are not your problem. Your culture is your problem.
Yes, I agree. The basic building blocks of society, which is your family, has been destroyed. The numbers, I was looking at the numbers yesterday, 50% out of all births are now out of wedlock. Families now grow up without a mother, you know, will grow up without either a mother or father in the household. Usually it's the man. And then you throw on top of the amount of divorce that exists in the culture as well, which I think is around 50%. You have a generation of kids that are growing up without or mother or father in the household or one or the other. And then you're throwing on top of that the whole issue of gay marriage, which is, again, going to be a whole other issue where children are going to be raised with either in a same-sex marriage without a father or without a mother. I mean, we're really going to have a generation of kids now that we're either going to have never have an experience of having a mother or never having experience of having a father. I think these are all issues that need to be addressed and nobody talks about anymore. And the last thing is I think what's happening is our society is breaking down to the point that I think that it's hard for any president to connect with all aspects of society now because it's been so fractured. The other thing, just on a side note, which I found fascinating also, is that 30% of all people under 30 now have a tattoo, which I think is an enormous number, but it also shows you a kind of a trend of society of where our culture is going.
You know, it's funny. I'm not sure what that indicates or what that means, but I have to laugh because it means I think it's a form of rebellion, and it's a form of it's also part of that disconnect from God. I believe I know someone. I want let that person remain nameless on this show, but I know someone who is in his 60s, and he got divorced a few years ago, and the first thing he did was. He got his arm tattooed from his shoulder to his wrist, this 60-some-year-old man. And I know this person. And this person doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in any deity, doesn't believe in anything outside of himself. And so I find it interesting because even at a grown age, not 30% of the people under 30, but here's a 60-year-old man completely disconnected from spirituality, completely disconnected from a creator who – for some reason, that youthful statement of tattoos all over their bodies, he jumped right into that. And so I've always made this connection in my mind between defaming the body in that way. I know people say it's decoration or it's enhancement. I don't see it that way. It's incredibly painful both to get and it's incredibly painful to undo. You're injecting a dye that, by the way, has a very high carcinogen rate. And there is a history of cancer, skin cancer, with tattooing. And so it's not an enlightened, intelligent thing to be doing to your body. And it makes you wonder why that statistic that I didn't know, Steve, until you just said it, it makes you wonder why 30% of the people under 30, and it probably goes back to the cultural issues that we were just alluding to. You know, what we left out, let me just end with this on this thought. What we left out as we talked about the culture was, I watched an interview the other night with Johnson. I forget her name will come to me in a minute. It's Andy Johnson or Alex Johnson. She is a former executive for 6 years with Planned Parenthood, and she's now
Abby
Johnson. Thank you. And she's now on the speaker circuit because she came out. She started working for them as pro-choice and wound up leaving as pro-life. But of all the things she said, and I won't go into detail, we've actually talked about it on other shows, she said something I hadn't heard before, and that was that when she was pregnant working at Planned Parenthood, you're not allowed to use the word baby at Planned Parenthood. They're fetuses. No matter what level of gestation they're at, they're fetuses. But when she was pregnant, after she passed 28 weeks, which at the time they allegedly didn't do abortion past the first trimester, when she passed 24 weeks, they threw her after work, after a day of abortions, they closed the clinic and threw her a baby shower. Now, why was hers a baby? Why do we throw baby showers if they're only fetuses, tissue that are being aborted? It's the hypocrisy and the culture of death that I see in the technology, that I see in the interactive video games, that I see in Planned Parenthood, that I see in the gun control issue, quite honestly. It's a culture of death. It's praising the wrong thing. It's having our priorities on the wrong side of almost every argument. It's cutting a deal with Iran who chants death to Israel and the West. It is, in fact, a culture of death, and that's what concerns me more than anything and in any of the political arguments.
The thing that I where I got these numbers from was Edward Colline's new book about Hillary. And in the last part of the book, he went through some of the demographic issues. And I found it fascinating because it's a topic that's going to relate to both parties, but it's also a topic that it's essentially a kind of a breakdown in the culture. There's 76 million people out of a population of 300 million. There's 76 million people that are baby boomers that are retiring, and then you have a whole other subset of people that are coming in. You know, there are 200 million that are coming in, and so then they started going through the numbers. Just like I said before, 50% of all marriages end in divorce, 50% of all births out of wedlock. And the issue is for both political parties is the country in some ways is becoming so fragmented between what's right, what's the left, and addressing those issues that a lot of candidates, the older candidates, somebody like Hillary Clinton, is no longer in touch with this new generation of voters. The same way Rush Limbaugh has said on numerous occasions, he no longer feels a connection to the younger voters, so he has to spend time and time again addressing and looking at technology trends to stay current with that audience, because there is such a gap between the old generation and the new generation. What I think you're spot on in this analysis is that the new generation, it is more of a, I hate to say it, but it is more of a culture of death. All these trends that are at its base, disconnected from the family, I don't see it as a healthy outcome for our society.
There's another negative factor that plays into, I don't want to say the disconnect that you just spoke to, but that plays into a general apathy or a general withdrawal from the issues that are really important, the I don't want to know kind of mentality, or it doesn't impact me, so what do I need to know? I happen to have had a meeting last week with a minister, a pastor of one of the largest Christian congregations in the area where I live, and I met with him because I'm trying to organize a speaker to come in and raise funds for helping Christians in Syria and helping them get out of Syria, the ones that are being targeted for death by ISIS only because they are Christian. And I met with this man who is a delightful human being, and I'm a Jew, and here I am bringing to a Christian a proposal for saving Christians. And when I laid out the scenario in Syria, he said to me, quite honestly, I was impressed with his honesty. He said, you know, I'm not aware of most of what you're telling me. Now, this is a Christian minister. I'm not aware of most of what you're telling me, he said, because quite honestly, I've got so much to handle here and with my congregation, and we've got so many issues in this country that I have to turn off some of it. And he said, and I'm guilty of having turned that off. So I think we have a bunch of factors. And by the way, I believe the driving factor in all of it is the technology. Because it's the reason that it's one of the reasons that families are so fragmented. It's one the little time they do have together, everybody's on their technology, everybody's on their iPad, they're on their iPhone. The technology became a babysitter from the day television was invented, and then it only escalated with the computer, became a babysitter for children. So we had an entire generation, once the internet hit, that was raised on the technology. And now we have the speed of the technology making everything so intense that people do have to shut out. I don't know how many times I've had friends lately say to me, for a week I'm not going on the internet. For a week I'm turning off my cell phone. I actually have had people say to me lately, I can't do any of the technology for about a week. I feel like I'm fried. I'm going to explode. And so I think that we underestimate, we're so enthralled with the technology because it's so seductive. You know, I actually believe that next to sex, it is the most compelling addiction. People are drawn to it because it can fulfill in a very twisted way almost any need you have. If your need is history, if your need is sex, doesn't matter what your need is. If you're a news junkie, if you're a gardener, and you can get addicted to this thing, to this entire method of communication, and you can access it 24/7 whenever you want. So it's kind of like having, you know, what was that movie that was just out? She,
where correct.
He fell in love with a software program because she satisfied his every thought and need before he had it. Don't kid yourself. That's what these things do now. They just can't do it to the level that it was in the movie, meaning that she learned as she went along. To some extent, Google learns as you go along. It gives you the ads. They see you're searching. They see what your preferences are, and suddenly they're all the emails and commercials you're getting based on your preferences. So we're only a step away. So we have to realize the inhumanity of the technology and the extent to which it feeds this culture of death that we're talking about.
Carol, I want to address something. You sparked a thought that I had. There was a book that I told you about that I just finished reading called The Surrender Experiment.
I have to ask you something. Are you a speed reader?
No.
I never saw anybody cite and quote more books and have read more books than you do. You got six kids. You're always working. Would you please tell me how you do all that reading?
10 minutes a day, just blocks of chunks wherever I stop. I'll pull over and read. But regarding the surrender experiment, he was a guy that wanted to just live in the woods and meditate, and that's what he did. An opportunity came his way by meditating, finding time for quiet, to the point where he developed a construction company, became very wealthy, but he became fabulously wealthy through technology by creating software programs for healthcare professionals. He became a billionaire. The only reason he became a billionaire, as he says in his book, is by finding the time to be quiet, to disconnect, by not getting involved in the technology. By doing so, he realized he had access to parts of his brain that allowed him to become a fantastic programmer, to really understand the technology. It was by stepping away from everything, by finding the quiet time, that allowed him to really thrive in a field. Just the opposite of what we're doing today.
Well, then maybe for our next show, instead of logging on to Blog Talk Radio and podcasting, you and I will sit in a room and meditate and send out vibrations to all of our listeners, and we will have a non-tech podcast of Above the Fray. If we're able to do that and you're able to hear us, we'll all be millionaires and billionaires. So, Steve, let's wrap it up. We've got 2 minutes left. I think we covered the unemployment, the new numbers, 96 million and 52 million women. The impact of that going forward will be horrific on families as well, another negative on families. We covered did we talk about Russia and Syria?
We did not.
No, let me do this real fast. I remember watching Marco Rubio, who may or may not be my candidate. I remember watching Marco Rubio in the last Republican debate from the Reagan Library in San Clemente, Southern California. And what Rubio said was, what you're going to see next is Putin, Russia, doing airstrikes in Syria. Well, guess what? It's 3 weeks later, and so be it. The reason is what the reason always is. Energy. It's oil. It's about Putin, who now provides all of the natural gas to Northern Europe, to Europe, wanting to provide it to the Middle East. It's about Putin replacing us as a world power. It's about oil, because oil, remember, is energy. And everything is always about energy, because energy is power. And so our real problem is the human condition. It's the fact that we seek more and more power. We never seem to have enough. And instead of understanding that we're all connected to one another, we seem to think that our job here on this earth is to outdo the other. And until we shift that thinking, until we close off that ego trip in our head and open the compassion trip in our hearts and understand that we are all connected, we're going to continue looping in this mess that we're currently in. So we hope that we've given you more to think about, as we always do. We'll be back again on what, Steve?
Monday.
Monday at 6 p.m. I'm Carol Gold.
I'm Steve Clark.
And you've been listening to Above the Fray. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Follow us. Tweet us. What is it, Steve? You're the techie. Go.
Yeah, just make sure visit our website, AboveTheFrayPodcast.com. You will see a link in there as well to our Facebook fan page. Please like us there. And please like us on iTunes as well.
You've been listening to Above the Fray with Carol Gold and Steve Clark, from politics to the divine. Thanks for being a part of a new way to see the world. Visit our website, at AboveTheFrayPodcast.com and like us on our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/AboveTheFrayPodcast. This has been Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you always above the fray.